right, word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show. We've got some guests here in the studio, and it's a big, big things are going on right here at Ryerson Campus. We got the Global Awareness Week is currently underway, and we've got a returning guest here on the show. We've had him in the studio before, the president of CSER, Muhammad Ali Amir. And Muhammad, do you mind introducing who else we got in the studio here?
So, with us today, we have Leanna Salvador, who is the Vice President of Education for the Ryerson Students Union, the full-time students union at Ryerson University, and Sanjid Anik, who is on the board of directors for my organization, CSER.
Awesome. And what's going on here, I guess, with CSER? I know there's some events you wanted to mention. What's happening around campus?
Yeah, so tonight, if folks are around, folks want to come out, we have some great free events at CSER, at Ryerson University. If people are looking to like lay back, have a chill time, we have a great DJ, actually CKLN's own DJ Mel Boogie, who will be spinning at the Oakham Cafe for our Organic Wednesdays, so free events starting at 8 o'clock. So the moment the show ends, we're going to have great tunes downstairs in the Ryerson Student Center. And also tonight, at the Ryerson Pub, the Ram and the Rye, also in the Student Center, we have the Hip Hop Open Mic Monthly Series. This month, it's featuring Juno-nominated and Polaris Award-nominated hip-hop MC Decisive, who is honestly one of Canada's dopest MCs. Again, both those events are free, happening tonight at Ryerson University.
Awesome. And what else is going on here at Ryerson? I've got the flyer right here for the Global Awareness Week. What is this all about?
So we decided to hold a week-long series of events to talk about the negative impacts of globalization and capitalism on various communities around the world. So we've held different events from Monday through Friday, and today we screened the movie Life in Debt, and tomorrow we're screening The Take, which is about a worker-run cooperative. Workers in Argentina take over a factory and try and run a worker-owned cooperative, and that's tomorrow at 6:30. In the Student Center. And on Friday is our keynote speaker. Her name is Dr. Vandana Shiva, a very well-known activist, eco-feminist from India, who is coming to talk about the impacts of capitalism on things like agriculture, equity, sustainability, and what we can do as a community to push back against it. It is a free event for Ryerson students, staff, and faculty, and $5 for community members. And we're giving tickets and selling them in the Student Center at 55 Gold Street at the front desk. We're running out, though. We only have about 40 tickets left, so if you want to come, you should totally come check it out. It's going to be in LIB 72 at 7 o'clock on Friday, and then we're having an after party after the talk from 9 to midnight, and it's a wicked event, cash bar. There's going to be spoken word artists, dancers, songwriters. It's going to be a really good event.
Awesome. And the what you just mentioned, With the movies that have happened, there was a screening earlier today, and there's one tomorrow. Was there a situation today with were any politicians in attendance?
Yeah, Dwight Duncan, the finance minister, was on campus making an announcement about the government's commitment to post-secondary education. Nice. Students were in attendance. There was no real comment about the budget or what's going to be expected, other than 20,000 new spaces. And students are really hoping that there's going to be funding provided by the government, because we have the worst per student funding in all of Canada here in Ontario, and the highest tuition fees. So tomorrow we're hoping to see some good announcements from the budget.
Oh yeah, for sure. We're going to be looking into that budget. So you're basically saying that the announcement that was made today on campus had to do with the number of students?
Yeah, they announced that they're going to be ensuring that there are 20,000 new places for students on campuses across Ontario, but no announcement about how we're going to fund students to fill those spaces.
That's interesting. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on here at Ryerson, and just to bring it back to this Global Awareness Week, and maybe I can ask Sanjid, about this keynote speech coming up on Friday with Dr. Vandana Shiva, why do you think that this is an important event for people?
It's quite important for our students in Ryerson because, like talking about sustainability, we recently have our president signed the boycott bottled water pledge, where our campus is going to be bottled water free by 2013. So relating to that issue and this whole sustainability issues, Dr. Vandana Shiva is one of my very favorite activists and researcher who has been working like last 30 years on these issues all across the world. And so we can learn how we can make our campus and our community more sustainable, like, you know, growing vegetables in our, like organic vegetables in our backyards or in the roof. We might, we can use campus roofs or our balconies or wherever in wherever land we can find in this urban atmosphere in Toronto. So we can learn this, like the importance and the most critical things that we have been facing in this time right now. So Vandana Shiva is going to talk all about it, how GMO, like genetically modified organisms, are in our seeds and in our foods, and how can we get rid of it just to protect our future generations here. So that's about it, like just to spread the awareness all across the campus and students so we can take some values, some principles from the talk and from the discussions that's going to happen on Friday.
Oh, awesome. And the speaker, I know Vandana Shiva has a name in the activist community and you know, within the education community too, because I even remember reading a book in high school, in my high school world issues class. You know, this is in the 90s. I think it was called Stolen Harvest, The Hijacking of the Global Food Supply, but she's written a lot of books. I guess just because this is such a big event, do you mind giving the details of where the event is? Again?
The Vandana Shiva's event in our campus is LIB 72, Jurgensen Hall. Door opens at 6:30, and it's Victoria and Gold, and the discussion starts at 7.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so that's coming up on the Global Awareness Week, and, you know, we've got some representatives here of the RSU and CSER, the government here at Ryerson, and, you know, there's big things going on with governments worldwide. And, you know, one of the topics I want to get into is a big thing going that's coming to Toronto, G20. What do you guys think about this G20? And, you know, is there any resistance you're seeing?
Toronto is organizing for the G20 summit that's coming up in Toronto on June 25th, 26th, and 27th. But here at Ryerson, we are organizing a people's summit, the awareness and the education towards the G8 and G20 summit. And we're going to have speakers and activities, banner painting, placard making, and all sort of arts and music installations, preparing for the demonstrations we're going to hold in downtown Toronto on June 25th. So June 18th, 19th, and 20th, we're having People Summit at Toronto in Ryerson University, in the same hall where Dr. Vandana Shiva is going to be speaking. It's LIB 72, and it's booked all 3 days, and there are other places around the campus. We will be doing a lot of activities that that we can promote to resist the G8 and G20 summit that's coming up.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds like there's going to be some stuff going on around campus while this major thing is going on. You know, there's the announcements I saw today in today's paper, I think it's in Toronto Star. They got the headline, Summit Security Will Be Absolutely Massive. And then they break down the 3-meter fence, 5 levels of security screenings that are going to be coming to the G20 starting 2 weeks before, I guess, the actual meetings are taking place. So this is going to be a major thing. And I know Muhammad Ali, I know I've seen you at a lot of the protests and stuff. How big do you think that the G20 will be in terms of Toronto activism? Is there anything you could compare it to? Or?
Well, for one, the fact that we're going to be doing this for 2 weeks and the fact that I live literally across the street from the site of the meeting, I think they're going to keep stopping me every time I go home or I go buy a carton of milk. But that's just me venting because that's what community radio is for. So, I mean, I think this is going to be one of the biggest things we ever see in this city, not just one of the biggest events we have seen, but one of the biggest we ever will. I mean, I would compare it to the protests against in the lead up to the war in Iraq. But those were sets of protests. It was really one major day of protesting, and also it was across Canada with a million people in Montreal. I think this one's going to be a lot more Toronto centric, and I think a lot of things will really come to a head. Issues will come to the forefront, and I think this hopefully it has the opportunity to really shape discussion and political discourse in the city, because folks will be talking about this and will be engaging in these issues, the global issues of the economy and whatnot. So I mean, for me, I'm hopeful that it's going to shed the spotlight on issues that are too often ignored in the media, and Toronto will be stronger for it moving forward.
Right, and I know one of the things that I heard here today from talking with you guys where it was when you guys mentioned this this issue of water on campus and this idea of moving towards having no bottled water. Do you guys mind talking a little bit about what that's all about? What So
it started with a few universities across Canada and students, I should say, organizing their universities and getting their universities to sign commitments to reduce or eliminate the sale of bottled water on campus. And it sparked a national movement various organizations have been involved in coordinating students across Canada, including the Polaris Institute and the Canadian Federation of Students. And on our campus, both students' unions, CSER and RSU, had been doing work around the issue for a while. And we met a student named Andrew McAllister with an organization called the Green Action Group that had been doing work as well. So we coordinated, and they organized. There was a national day called National Bottled Water Free Day on March 11th. And so we made a commitment to try and get our university to sign a pledge for March 11th, National Bottled Water Free Day. And we succeeded, and our university decided to commit itself to going bottled water free. Their commitment is for 2013, because there is a recognition that a number of water fountains on campus are currently offline for various reasons, and it's going to take a while to upgrade them. And so we have in writing a commitment from the university to increase water fountain infrastructure and to add the number of fountains on campus, at the same time to progressively reduce the sale of bottled water to zero by 2013.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, did you have something to add?
I think it's an example that we can set that the struggle, if the struggle continues, we actually win at the end if we're all united, because this struggle started since 2005. All Ryerson campus started this campaign to boycott bottled water and increase more water fountains in our campus since 2005. And in 2013, we're going to have it in reality. So it's just a matter of 8 years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's happening, so it's a huge success.
Yeah, that is one thing. The this concept, I could see it being. I could see how the fact that it's in a bottle, that the bottle's plastic and stuff, that could be harmful for the environment, the creation of that. But is there any movement or campaigns that you see to eliminate bottled pop, for instance?
Well, I mean, I think the issue of water is really specific, because it also speaks to the commodification of water. Water is a basic human right, and it should not be commodified and sold to us for $1.25, as Most Def once said many years ago. I think with water specifically, it's just, it's the fact that water, among many other things, is a basic human right, and this is not something that should be sold to us, for profit, be it on our campus or in our community or anywhere.
Right, yes. That is one of the issues. I think there's an issue coming. I think it's there's issues in Bolivia right now with bottled water selling. And actually, last week we had interview guest who was Liz Marshall, who directed a documentary just on water privatization, with following Maude Barlow around in her UN work. There is a lot. There's a lot of stuff we can get into. And actually, since I just since we just heard from Muhammad Ali there, I was wondering about asking you about the work that you've been doing about with socialist hip hop. Actually, I just wanted to ask you just one question here, because I just recently read this book, A Hip Hop World, A Groundwork Guide by Dalton Higgins, and he in that book he describes the Cuban government supporting the arts and actually creating something called the Cuban Rap Agency in 2002. And then He goes on to say, however, that there are critics within Cuba who see that the rap agency could simply be a tool of surveillance to guard against the youth rappers critical of government policies. And I just wanted to ask you about this, just because I know that you've got the socialist hip-hop movement going on. And I was wondering, you know, do you know about this Cuban government rap agency, and what do you think about it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've heard folks mention that the Cuban rap agency might actually be a tool for surveillance and subversion. And I think it's really, it's just really blowing it out of proportion. Now, keep in mind, my information is dated. I spent a lot of time in Cuba, extended periods of time creating music, performing and whatnot on a semi-professional level at best, I would say. But with my experiences, and again, this goes back to 2004 and 2005, when it was a really brand new thing. The Cuban Rap Agency had only been around for a short amount of time. And really what it was there was a lot of quote-unquote dissident hip-hop. I wouldn't label it as dissident hip-hop, but some folks would. And definitely hip-hop that, you know, really what hip-hop does, which is question things, and, you know, question a lot of things in Cuban society, some of it fairly and some of it actually unfairly. And the government, seeing that, they wanted to be proactive and support the hip-hop that was actually promoting a positive image of the government, and do that in a real material fashion by providing logistical support and other forms of support. So they created the Cuban Rap Agency. So really, it was just one small avenue to support hip-hop artists and hip-hop initiatives, and that was geared toward, you know, that was biased towards supporting artists and initiatives that, you know, looked favorably upon the government and spoke favorably upon the government. Now, again, this was in 2004 and 5 when it was a brand new organization or close to it. So I don't know how it's grown and evolved since. But, I mean, yeah, in terms of it being this tool for subversion and them spying and whatnot, I think that's, like, something that people have really blown out of proportion. If they're actually in Havana, where the Cuban Rap Agency was based at the time, I expect still is, and, you know, actually communicated with folks who are involved with it, they'd see it for what it is, which, you know, at the very least, it was still rooted on a grassroots level. I think that's just it's an exaggeration, and really, it'd be interesting to see where the documentation and where the evidence came from, to, you know, because that's a pretty bold assumption. I think it's, it's taking a little bit too far, and I think there is sometimes a tendency to do that with Cuba, because Cuba's not not a country where you always have access to lots of resources in regards to, like, scholarly research, especially because there's always new innovations, one of which being the Cuban Rap Agency.
Right, yeah, and I thought it would be great to ask you about that, just with your work with the socialist hip-hop, and, you know, and that's it actually is a good book, Hip Hop World, a guidebook by Dalton Higgins. So since I asked that, and then, you know, I think we're going to get into playing one of your tracks, actually, Muhammad Ali, as you guys leave, but just because I've got you guys all here in the studio representing Ryerson. Do you guys want to go over the events that you got coming up? Because I know there was a lot that we announced there at the beginning. Just to clarify for everyone.
So tonight we have starting in just a little over half an hour, Organic Wednesdays at the Oakham Cafe, which is located in the Student Center right at Ryerson University. Free event. CKLN's own DJ Mel Boogie will be spinning great, really laid-back tunes. Next Wednesday for Organic Wednesdays, on the 31st, we have a feature performance from the band Lal, one of the best bands in the country, in my opinion. Again, another free event on Wednesday at the Oakham Cafe. And tonight, on top of the cafe, in the pub, the Ram and the Rye Pub, also located in the Student Center at Ryerson University, we have the Hip Hop Open Mic Night featuring Juno Award nominee and Polaris Award nominee Decisive, who is one of the best hip hop artists in this country. And if you don't know D, you should get to know him, preferably tonight at the Ram and the Rye, another free all ages event.
Awesome.
Tomorrow we are screening The Take in Oakham Lounge in the Student Center as well, right here at Ryerson University. Free event. And then on Friday at 6:30, doors open for Dr. Vandana Shiva's talk around equity and capitalism. And you can get your tickets again at the Student Center. You can pick them up ahead of time, or you can get them at the door if we have any left. And then the after party is in the Student Center in Thomas Lounge. Spoken word, dance performances, music, and cash bar.
Nice. All right, awesome. And so that's a lot of info there, and I just want to thank all you guys for coming in today.